Hi. The anatomy of the enteric nervous system, or the second brain. Right, I've started my 5-minute timer. So what is the enteric nervous system? Well, it's the nervous system of the gastrointestinal tract. So it's a division of the peripheral nervous system. That is, it's not part of the central nervous system. And it's also part of the autonomic nervous system. I mean, what's going on with the gut? The gut has a lot of processes that need to be autonomously controlled, right? You put food into it and that food needs to be moved along, digested, and the good bits absorbed and the rest of it continues to pass through. So we can think about the enteric nervous system in a couple of ways. We should think about sensory bits, motor bits, and how all that's linked together. So, I mean, what does need to be autonomously controlled in the gut? Well, peristalsis. We have layers of muscles. We have circular rings of muscles running around the gut tube, and we have longitudinal muscles running the length of the gut tube. And with peristalsis, when food enters the gut tube, the muscle needs to contract in a coordinated manner to squeeze the food along, to make the tube shorter and longer. This needs to be really coordinated for it to work, right? Otherwise, you're not going to propel the food along the tube. So peristalsis needs to be well organized. The stomach, for example, needs to move in different ways to mix the food with digestive enzymes and churn it around. Hormone secretion. So we also have a lot of secretion. We have a lot of glands in the gut, and hormones regulate a lot of the functions of the cells of the gastrointestinal tract, and neurons can trigger hormone secretion. And blood flow. Blood flow to the gastrointestinal tract increases after a meal. The nutrients go into the blood. The blood is transferred to the liver. So there's an increase in blood flow because the gastrointestinal tract is more active, and also because we're moving the nutrients around the body, right? So what sort of sensory input might be involved? Well, stretch receptors would be a major one. So mechanoreceptors in the wall of the gut tube. So when something passes through the gut tube, it stretches the wall of the gut tube, and those stretch receptors signal. There are also chemical sensors, so chemoreceptors detecting what's in the lumen of the gut from things like, you know, pH to other chemicals, and maybe even pathogens via their metabolites. And there seem to be also thermal sensors, noxious sensors, sensors for tissue damage. So there are quite a lot of sensors in the gut. So if you were to then take that sensory information, those sensory neurons, and link them up to those motor neurons that are driving the food along the gut and driving the secretion of this, that, and the other, you could put some interneurons in between, and you're creating circuits, you're creating reflexes. So if you, and this is exactly what happens, this is what we find in the enteric nervous system, is we find those sensory inputs are linked up to those motor outputs, and that autonomous, that all-encompassing, it can do what it needs to do without the central nervous system necessarily being involved in driving it. That, plus the 100 million neurons that are in there, this is what gives the enteric nervous system that title of the second brain. There's quite a lot of complexity there. In terms of anatomy, we think about two plexuses. So the myenteric plexus, also known as Auerbach's plexus. So these are neurons that we find between the circular and the longitudinal muscle layers of the gut wall. And this is all the way from the upper esophagus to the internal anal sphincter, so all the way along the tube. So we have motor and sensory neurons in there, but you can imagine there's a lot of motor neurons managing those muscles of the gut wall, right? And then we have the submucosal plexus, or Meissner's plexus. So inside the gut, we've got the food. So the lining of the gut inside, the internal lining, is the mucosa. So then the tissue supporting the mucosa is the submucosa, and we find lots of neurons in the submucosa. Again, sensory and motor, but you can imagine there are lots of those chemoreceptors, a lot of those sensory neurons in there, and then a lot of motor neurons that would be driving submucosal glands, a lot of sympathetic neurons that are regulating that blood flow to the mucosa. That's where the nutrients are going, right? And the submucosal plexus and the myenteric plexus are linked all the way along. So they're in separate anatomical layers, but they're very much connected. So this is what the enteric nervous system is. It's this nervous system of the gut that is automatically, autonomously regulating a lot of the work of the gut without the central nervous system being involved. Oh, there's my timer. But we also have visceral afferent neurons, so sensory neurons running from the gut, and they do run back to the brain. So the nerve that supplies parasympathetic innervation to the gut is the vagus nerve, cranial nerve 10. Sympathetic neurons come from the spinal cord at thoracic levels, go out to the sympathetic trunk, and then pass to the enteric nervous system, pass to the gut. But visceral afferent fibers, so various sensory fibers, then also follow those pathways back to the central nervous system. And the more we look at this, the more we find that there are way more significant sensory links between the gut and the brain than was previously thought. And this is where a lot of the current work is, that is trying to better understand how gut health affects mental health and vice versa. The neurotransmitters used in the gut are the same as we see in the brain, and there are a lot of connections. Anyway, that's that's more than 5 minutes. I hope that was interesting and useful. See you next time.